Probably the greatest oddity in Parshas Tetzaveh is at the end of the Parsha you find the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is really almost out of place. The question is why. If you look at Parshas Truma, basically Parshas Truma is the overall, the kelim, the physical structures, the furniture is not the right translation for the word kelim, the appliance, not the word either, I don't know, the things that they made for the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Kaporas, the Shulchan, the Menorah. Then we leave those four kelim. We talk about the overall structure, the urios, the karashim, the curtains, the building. We then put in the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, which is a larger topic, but it's Hashem, we'll talk about that Parshas Truma time next year or whenever. Then you jump to Parshas Tetzaveh. You get to the first couple, Big Day Kahuna, the Eifah, the Choshen, the Me'il that sits, and you know we're no longer talking about the furniture, now we're talking about the clothing. We're talking about the Big Day Kahuna. We briefly mentioned the Big Day Lavan, which is the Big Day Kahuna, not the Beged of the Kohen Gadol, not the Big Day Kahuna Gadolah, but the Beged Kohen. We switch from there to an inaugurational process, how to get to Kohanim there. And then all the way at the end is the Mizbeach HaZahav. L'char belonged in Parshas Truma. Not just is it all the way at the end, but if you look in Perek Chavtes, the end of the Perek, there seems to be a real conclusion before we get into the Mizbeach HaZahav as well. Take a look. Let's start from Perek Chavtes Pasuk, let's say Mem Gimel. V'nodati Shamal of Neisrael, v'nikdash b'chvodi. It sounds already a little bit like a conclusion. The words are going to be wrap-up words, and you'll see. V'kidashti yaso amoed ves hamizbeach ves aaron ves banav akadesh l'chahin li. It just sounds like, and this is the purpose of it. It's like it'd be opening words, closing words, but there's going to be closing words over here. More than that, v'shachanti besoch b'nei Yisrael. That seems to be going back to the pasuk of v'shachanti besocham. V'ayisi lohem le'elokim. Maybe linking it to like Har Sinai or something. V'yadu ki ani Hashem Eloheihem. Asher otzeisi el stam yeretz Mitzrayim l'shachanti besocham. Ani Hashem Eloheihem. Again, l'shachanti b'socham is a second allusion to it. Twice quoting it, the word v'nodati back in Mem Gimel was probably quoting the v'nodati from the beginning of Parshas Truma, where Hashem says v'nodati. In other words, by the end of the Kaporas, it's in Chafei Chavet. V'nodati b'chasham v'dibarti chamial kaporas me'ben hashnei kruvim, etc., etc. A lot of the words that we use to kind of open up, we're using the words to close it as well. And you get the impression it's like a closure, which makes it all the more surprising. Not only is Mizbeach HaZahav stuck all the way at the end, but it is after the conclusion, after the ending. This is especially surprising when if you look around elsewhere in Sefer Shmos, the Mizbeach HaZahav is mentioned with the other Kalim. If you look in Perek Lamed Aleph, for example, Pesukim Zayin through Yud Aleph, Es ohel moed ves haaron laidus ves hakaparas asher lo ves kleak ohel ves hashulchan ves kol keila ves hamenorah tohora ves kol keila ves mizbeach haktoras. That's mizbeach hazahav. Ves mizbeach haolah. All these things that Moshe is telling Bezalel that God commanded him to do, it's stuck in right in there. Furthermore, in Perek Lamed Zayin, when they actually put everything together in Parshas Vayakel, take a look at Lamed Zayin Chav Hei. Vayas Hashem Mizbeach HaKtoras, that's Eishit Amma Arko, Vamar Achbo, Vamar, etc., etc. Right after it's the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, beforehand the menorah, before the menorah is the Shulchan, before that's the Aron. It seems to be right in place with all the other Kalim. When they actually do the construction of it, it's stuck in there with everything else. So why group it separately after the conclusion of the Truma Tetzaveh Parshios, if seemingly it belongs both thematically, it seems to be one of the Kalim, textually, structurally, elsewhere, it seems to be stuck with the other Kalim, why place the Mizbeach HaZahav all the way over here? And by the way, anyone who believes God didn't write the Torah, all the modern, you know, takeoffs of the documentary hypothesis, they're going to have a field day with this, you know, when the Torah was didacted, you know, some idiot stuck it in the wrong place and stuck it over here, and whoever put the Torah together just kind of like found it later and added it in at the end, didn't know exactly where it was, and it's like one of the great rise that God didn't write the Torah. So obviously we don't believe in any of that stuff. Question is, according to us, we think God purposely ordered the Parshias of the Torah. What was his purposeful order? So far, so good. You got the question? Nothing so fancy, right? So the Sfarno has an answer, which at first glance you can read and not understand. But I'd like to do it the exact opposite. I don't have a Sfarno here, so I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to try to understand it. The Sfarno says that the other Kalim contained the Shechina, while this Mizbeach doesn't contain the Shechina. And now the question is, okay, what does that mean? Who told you that? What makes you think that? Why not just say this Mizbeach starts with the word Mem, and that's why it's all the way at the end, while the other Kalim don't start with a Mem. I guess Menorah does. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's true, it could be right, but anything could be right. In other words, here's a chiluk. Why is this chiluk machalik? Says the Sfarno, this is not the Shechina type of Keli. That's why it's stuck at the end. Is that really, where did he get that from? How does he know this? So I'd like to try to spend some time understanding this Shita. And I'll start off by asking a much more general question. Is this one of the Kalim or not? What do you think? Yes or no? Why would you say yes? Why would you say no? For starters, if you look at the Mizbech HaZahav, back in Perek Lamed, it starts off with the word Va'asisa. What does that sound like, by the way? One of the Kalim. Almost every one of the Kalim has Va'asisa, with the exception of the Aron, where it says Va'asu. Right afterwards, all the other Kalim have Va'asisa, Kapores, Shulchan, Menorah, as well as the Big Day Kahuna. Most of them have Va'asisa, with the exception of the Ephod, which also has Va'asu. Most of them, you know, are really about Va'asisa. Beyond that, it's made out of Atzei Shittim with Zahav on the side, right? Va'asisa Mizbeach Miktar Ketores, Atzei Shittim Tasel. So it's made out of Atzei Shittim, and it has the same type of description, Amma V'chetzi Yarkov, V'amma Rachbo, Ravuyye, V'amasayim Komaso, I'm sorry, Amma Arkov, V'amma Rachbo, Ravuyye, V'amasayim Komaso, Menu Karnosav. It has the same phraseology for Tzipiso, Sov, Zahav, Tahor. In other words, a lot of the words seem to indicate textually that it is one of the Kalim. Beyond that, it has Tabot, those little holes, those little rings, rather, at the side of it. Beyond that, it has Badim going through those Tabot, which sounds a lot like the Shulchan, the arrow. Even the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, for that matter, although it's made out of different material. Not only that, but the Badim are the same material, wood with gold plating on the outside. So there certainly is reason to believe it's one of the Kalim. However, as we pointed out early on, the geographical location of where Hashem placed it seems to be completely separate from the Kalim. Beyond that, there was a real closure just beforehand. So on one hand, it kind of is with the Kalim. On the other hand, it's kind of separate from the Kalim. Let me try to build that for a second. Let's take a look at Prakim Lamed and Lamed Aleph. And by the way, the Christians label these Prakim. They started this as Perek Lamed. I understand why. Because Chav Tes is the end, the conclusion, the closure of the Kalim. And here it says some new Perek Lamed. Let's take a look at Lamed and Lamed Aleph. The end of Parshas Tetzav, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, before we get to the Chet HaEgel story, which really is from Lamed Bet Nan, almost. Perek Lamed. It starts with Pasuk Aleph. Bet Dem is Be'ach HaZav. Where does that section end? Pasuk Yud. Correct. Pasuk Yud Aleph starts something brand new. Right? The first little section, we'll call it A, is the Mizbeach HaZahav. B is from Yud Aleph until where? Tezayin. If you have a Koran Tanach, it lays it out perfectly because you got the Parshas and Stumas. And what's that? That's the Machatzir HaShekel. Notice how it starts off. Vayidaber Shemel Moshe Lemar. Take a look at Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin to Kaf Aleph. What's that? The Kiyor. How does it start off? Vayidaber Shemel Moshe Lemar. Let's continue on. Perek Lamed Pasuk Kaf Bet through Lamed Gimel. What's this? The making of the Shemen. And how does it start off? Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Let's continue. Perek Lamed Pasuk Lamed Dalet until Lamed Chet. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, and there's no Lemar. It is worthwhile to note that there's a Vayomer, not a Vayidaber, and there's no Lemar. I do believe this next little section is part of the similar structure, but slightly different conceptually, but that's not my topic right now, as well as it is textually what we just saw. And what's this little section over here? Making and preparing the Ketores. Let's continue with Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Aleph until Yud Aleph. That's a section as well. And it starts again with Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. What's this section all about? commanding the staff to build the Mishkan, commanding Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Hur, Lamata Yudah, and all these people to build the Mishkan. We kind of alluded to them earlier on, and the Kalim that go along with it. And the concluding pasuk is, the concluding this parak rather, is Yud Bet to Yud Zayin. What's that all about? That's about Shabbos. And it starts off with Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Leimor. And again, you kind of see already intuitively why Vayomer is a different word and it's kind of like a different idea. But how many sections are there, not including the Mizbeach HaZahav? Add them up. What do you get? Close. 7. If I'm not mistaken. Unless maybe I added the Mizbeach HaZahav. I think it's... Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Including the Mizbeach HaZahav, you get 7. And by the way, how do I know the Mizbeach HaZahav is kind of grouped with the next one? Partially because it's separate, but partially because it's not just by chance that you have 6 steps and then you get to Shabbos. I don't think it's by chance that Shabbos is the 7th. It is kind of cute, but I think even more than that. Afterwards, you have basically Pasuk Yud Chet, which is a funny pasuk as well. On one hand, that starts Lamed Bet. On the other hand, it concludes Lamed Aleph. The Christians stuck it completely with Lamed Aleph. That's why it's Lamed Aleph Yud Chet. The Jews stuck it more. You know, it's the Parshas Tumah, whatever it is. It's after Yud Chet. But just in a couple of interesting points. We pointed out already that it starts off practically by Dabra Hashem Moshe Leimor, or something very similar. Beyond that, the conclusion also kind of closes the Mishkan topic from Parakafe as well. Take a look at Yud Chet. Vayitain el Moshe, kechalo tola daveri toba har Sinai, shnei luchot ha'idut, luchot evin, kesufim be'etzba lukim. This is also kind of like a conclusion to everything. It's right. We talk about, you know, the luchos ha'idut that Hashem stuck in them, you know, which is referring to the Aaron, referring to the Mishkan, and that's where he stuck them. So it kind of goes back as well. Beyond that, again, the seventh day, the Shabbos day, is a seventh of a unit of 7. And the Mizbeach HaZahav, the question is, where does it fit in? And the real answer is both. On one hand, it's linked to the previous thing. Conceptually, it's a Mizbeach. It has the gold, it has the wood. As you pointed out, there are several proofs that make it linked. On the other hand, it's somewhat separate. There's a conclusion right beforehand. It's geographically located afterwards. It's part of the next section, which is a 7-section process concluding with Shabbos. And by the way, those 6 things and the Mizbeach, what are they? If you had to categorize everything in Perek Lamed and Perek Lamed Aleph, what title would you give them? How would you capture their essence? Or how would you entitle what they are? On one hand, what are they? Are they Mizbeach things? Are they not? What's the answer? They kind of are and they're kind of not. In a certain sense, a lot of them are hachanos, not all of them, meaning the machzid ha-shekel, maybe. The making of the shemen is the preparing of the ketores, says maybe even the commanding of the staff to build the mishkan is, but the kiyar certainly isn't. What? Maybe they're hachanos. The kiyar is almost like a preparation for walking into the kodesh, into the mishkan, into the kodesh hakodeshim, I guess maybe even the kohen gadol. It is kind of separating. It's right before you get in. It is kind of at the entrance. Maybe what Morty's suggesting is very good. It could be it's like a hachana, it's a preparation. I had a little bit of a different idea in mind. Although maybe it's really not that different now that I think about it. I would have characterized it as a Sfarno, did things with Shechina and things without Shechina. And maybe the without Shechina things are preparations even. And in a certain sense, you know, the things with Shechina explain, that's really Truma and Tetzaveh. And by the way, if you look back to Chav Tes Mem Gimel, let's notice how the Torah concludes the Shechina part of the Truma Tetzaveh, beginning of Kitisa section. Let's notice how the Torah concludes the Mishkan-like stuff. The conclusion is a conclusion of Shechina. Again, now, if you compare that to the conclusion of Lamed Aleph Yud Ches, there's no Shechina mentioned there. Vayitain el Moshe kechalotol daveri abahar Sinai shilchot haidu luchot haven kesufim bech belokim. We have two conclusions. One is the conclusion that concludes Shechina, and Shechina is mentioned there twice. And one's a conclusion that concludes not Shechina stuff, and that's why Shechina is not mentioned there at all. And it could be the point is that the Mizbeach HaZahav, to defend the Sfarno, on one hand it is one of the Kalim, but it's not a Shechina-oriented clue. I'm not sure if it's a preparation like Morty suggested. It is kind of separate. At the end of the day, it doesn't have the Vayidavra Shalom Moshe opening. It has the Ve'asisa, and Hashem, I guess, could be structurally as well as textually is telling us the Mizbeach HaZahav is one of the Kalim as well as separate. It's also part of the Lamed Aleph Lamed Bet, the Kisisa Parsha, as well as separate from there as well. On one hand, it's a Kli, and on the other hand, it's a non-Shechina Dika Kli. And that may very well be what the Sfarno had in mind. But I'd like to add on a little more insight as well. If you look back at the Parsha of Mizbeach HaZahav, there really are two parts to it. From Lamed, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph until Pasuk Yud, the first section are really the first six Pesukim, which is the physical description of it, how it's built, how it's constructed, and then you have from Zion on, which is what you do. Take a look at from Zion on. V'hikdir alav Aaron k'toris hamim baboker baboker behitivo es aneros yaktirenu uvahalos Aaron es aneros bein harbaim yaktirenu k'toris tamim lefnei Hashem l'doris eichem lo talu alav k'toris zara v'ola mincha v'nesach lotischu This is much more about the functionality of it, what you do and how, what you're supposed to, what you're not supposed to do. And by the way, what word comes up over and over and over again? What's the Milah Mancha of this section? From Zayin Tol Yud, Ketores. And it comes up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, while in the entire Mizbeach HaZahav first section, it doesn't come up at all. From Zion to Yud, and even from Zion to Tes, for that matter, comes up 6 times. The suggestion I'd like to make is that Hashem, or Rabbi Elchanan Salman, actually, I'm going to build off this, he has a theory that Hashem often appears to us in a cloud. It's Kilu, Hashem is a cloud. That's how he appears to us. You find it already way back in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. You find it in Vayikra, specifically when it talks about the Yom Kippur ceremony, and specifically on the Mizbeach HaKtores. Take a look, if you have Vayikra Tezayin, it's worthwhile to notice. Vayikra Tezayin, Pasuk Aleph. Beginning of Parshas Achremos. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Achremos Shnei Ben Aaron, Mekrov HaSamuch Nei Hashem Yamusu. And here comes Yom Kippur, Pesukim. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Daber Al Aaron Achicha, Val Yavo B'chol Eisel HaKodesh. Never come to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Mibein Mibeis LaParoch. That's the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Never go to the Kodesh, Mibeis LaParoch, i.e. past the Paroch, it's referring to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. El Pnei HaKaporis, Asher Al Aaron, right? Never go there where the Aaron is, i.e. referring to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. V'lo Yamos, and this way you won't die. Why Kiva Anan Ara'e Ala Kaporis? Hashem will appear to us on the Kaporis as a cloud. V'zos Yavo, however, you should come in, and it's going to refer to Yom Kippur, Aaron Ala Kodesh Befar Ben Bakar L'chatos V'ayelolo, you should come in on this particular process, and whenever, and you know, at the end of the day, we mentioned all the way in there, it's referring to Yom Kippur. It's a big surprise until now, until the end of the prayer, which is a whole topic now for me right now. But Hashem seems to be prepared, you know, says, I'm going to be an Anan on top of the Kapores, and Hashem appears himself as an Anan sometimes. Suggestion is, maybe the Mizbeach HaZahav is designed for this as well. It's designed to be, in a certain sense, approachable, a way of approaching Hashem. After all, it's made out of half gold and half wood, which is kind of the kalim that represent physicality. The Aaron was physically representing Shechina Hashem, and the Shulchan was representing, in a certain sense, Klai Yisrael meeting the Shechina in the Kodesh. This doesn't have the Shechina. It has the capability that you can approach it. It doesn't really capture Hashem. In a certain sense, the first section, the first four kalim, the beginning of Parshas Truma, where the Shechina Dika Kalim, and really all of Parshas Truma Tzavos, but specifically those four, and that's what we spoke about last week, how they were the Aaron, obviously separate from the rest, but even the Shulchan and the Menorah kind of had half Hashem, half us, kind of were similar to the Aaron and the Kaporis, but were different insofar as it represented man, but man in the Mishkan, man in the Beis HaMikdash, man in the connecting to Shechina. The Mizbeach HaZahav has no Shechina at all. If that's the case, you understand fully why it's both connected and separate from the previous section. Half of the Mizbeach is about its physical structure. That's Lamed Aleph through Vav. And the other half is about the second structure, how Bnei Yisrael can make the Ketoros and approach Hashem. It could be the Mizbeach has its dual uniqueness, that it's missing Shechina and has the ability to approach Hashem. Beyond that, just the physical location of it, on one hand, it's in the Kodesh, which represents kind of connecting to God. On the other hand, it's separate, both from the Aron and Kaporas, as well as from the Menorah and the Shulchan. Each of them have a partner. They're the Shechina-oriented things. It could be the Mizbeach. When we come to Mizbeach, when we bring Karbonos, when we connect ourselves to Mizbeach as a hub, again, it's on one hand linked to the other Kalim, geographically, structurally, and thematically, as we pointed out. I just added in today, right, just the last point, geographically, it is linked. On the other hand, it's separate, and it's much more capable of approaching God, capable of talking to God, capable of interacting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.